Okay, today's daf is Kelayim, daf Mem Tes, 49th daf here in Maseches Kelayim. As we continue in the fifth parak of Kelayim, the fifth parak out of nine prakim. Remember, we're in Kelay HaKerem. We have not discussed Kelay Behema really in depth at all. We haven't discussed Kelay Begadim at all. That's really the last parak of Kelayim. So there's much on the horizon, but now we are still deep into the sugyas of Kelay HaKerem after having done Kelay Zeroyim and the various inyanim that come up in terms of separation and what is called a kerem, and to differentiate that between a geffen. So we had yesterday in the Mishnah, what happens if one has a big ditch in the middle of their kerem? Are they allowed to plant inside that ditch? They don't plant inside that ditch. So that was the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and no opinion other in the Mishnah, but the fact that it's quoted the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara is going to assume that there's a Rabbanan out there that argue on the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So we had a machlokas. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that it has to be mefulish. It has to be open from one side to the other side, go entirely through. I think a couple of weeks ago, we had a discussion of mefulish, and we spoke about where mefulish also comes up in other areas of halacha, going all the way through. We spoke about a hole in an esrog that is mefulash from one side to the other. We spoke about a road regarding Hilchos Shabbos that's mefulash from one side to the other. There's different place other areas where it comes up. But anyway, that was the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that if it's mefulash be rosh hakerem bat sofo, so then hari zinirka bein shnei kramim, and then it will be allowed and you can plant in it. But if not, then it's just like a gat. And a gat, a wine press, a ditch inside, even with the same dimensions, the Mishnah says, there it's a machlokas. Rabbi Elazar says you can be Zoraya in it. Well, the Chacham say, no, that's the God. The whole point is that a God, it's surrounded by at least three sides, by Kerem. If it goes all the way through, it's only surrounded by two sides by Kerem. But if it's surrounded by three sides, that would be a problem. Rabbi Elazar seems to say that that would be okay. We also spoke about a Shomera. We're going to talk about all of these again. Bez Hashem on today's daf. The Shomera was the mound. It wasn't the ditch underneath the ground, but it was the mound on top of the ground, 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, that the Shomer stands on. And we said that's okay, and there's no machlokas about that case. Right, you're allowed to plant on top of this little mound, or not so little, but a pretty little mound in the kerem. That's not a problem. Even like the Mara Folda said, even according to the Rabbanan, who argue by the ditch whether you can plant it if it doesn't go all the way through mefulash, but by the shomera, by the mound, it would be okay unless the vines from either side are going over it. Okay, and then we had the last halacha about the Gefshu Natua, but we'll review that a little bit later. So we now are up to the last line, Mem Ches Mem Beis. Mem Ches Mem Beis. So the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said, as long as the charitz goes all the way through, meaning and exits on opposite sides of the kerem, it goes all the way through, that's good enough. But anything less than that is not good enough. So now the Gemara asks, Ad Shehi Mavrik Kedei Hu Vavodaso. Do you need it to go all the way through? But remember, outside of a kerem, there's four amos that is called the avodas hakerem, and you're not allowed to plant zra'im or tzvua within those four amos. So the Gemara is asking, when this charitz dissects the kerem, do you need it to just go through the kerem, or do you need it to also go through the four amos on either side? It's an extra eight amos that it goes all the way through. Right? Do you need that or not? What's the lumdus, the question, possibly? So either it might be a more of a marisai and how it looks, that even if it goes all the way through the kerem, it doesn't go through the area where the plows are going to go and the oxen are going to go around, so it still kind of looks like it's part of the kerem. Or it might be a deeper lumdus, which we haven't really discussed, but there is this lumdus in Kelay HaKerem. Once we say that the kerem has this area around it that one is not allowed to plant in, maybe conceptually that's viewed as the kerem. Right, it's not just the avodas hakerem, but it's viewed as the kerem because that's the area that's needed to work the kerem. And mamela, if it's viewed as the kerem in some way, so when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires mefulish, maybe it will be mefulish through that area as well. So that's the Gemara's question: do you need the mefulish going through the avodas hakerem area also, the four amos around, or just through the kerem itself? So the Gemara says, Min ma'adatani, from the fact that we have the following conversation in the Braisa. The Braisa mentions a shita of the Chachamim that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. But as I said, there is a shita of the Chachamim. Min ma'adatani, modem Chachamim l'Rabbi ben Yaakov. The Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, bechritz mavrik ketehuva avodaso. The Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov if the chritz is mefulash, it goes all the way through, even through the avodas hakerem. Even through the extra four amos. So that's what the Tosefta says. The Rabbanim would agree in that case. What's that mashma about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's own shita? If the Chachamim would agree, if it goes through all the way the extra four amos, so obviously, Havik Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Savar, Meimar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov himself must hold, Afilu Eino Mavrik Dehuv Avadaso, even if it doesn't go through. Right? If it just goes through the Kerem, that would be good enough for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Right? So they prove it from the language of the Tosefta in our Masechta. Good. So now we know that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sheet in the Mishnah. You don't need to go through the Avodas HaKerem, but because there are Rabbanan, you do. So now the Gemara adds, my plegin, what's this machlokas about? What is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? About whether it's enough to go through the Kerem or even through the Avodas HaKerem. Kishayu shtei shiros mikan, v'shtei shiros mikan. If it's a big vineyard, and after you have this that went through the Kerem, you still have basically enough of a Kerem on either side to be their own Kerem. Remember what we said? You need at least two rows according to Beis Hillel. And two vines, and one zanav, right? Or basically a row of three rows and a row of two rows. So when do we say there's an issue of machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi ben Yaakov? That's only if you end up, after you shoot this chiritz through, so then you have kramim on either side. Avalam haisa shura achas bikan v'shura achas bikan. But what if it's a three-row kerem? It's a three-row kerem, and then somehow you got the middle one removed, or a two-row kerem. It's a two-row kerem, which is a kerem, that's fine. But then you have this charitz in between, so then that's too small, because then, once you have the charitz in the middle, you don't have enough of a kerem on either side. So then, mikiva chumagia kenega shalosh kefanim, then everybody would agree. Once, you don't need it to go all the way through mefulash. Once it goes through, and it separates between three vines, meaning six vines, three on one side, three on the other side. Once you have that area, batel hakerem. So then already it has its own area inside of it, and you'd be able to plant inside that charitz. Again, because the only problem is if you have kerem on either side. We spoke about this in the beginning of the previous parak. Remember, we spoke about a kerem shacharav. A kerem shacharav is only where you have enough kerem left on three sides or on two sides, right? So we spoke about that, whether that's a minimum. You have to have a significance on either. So here too is another example of that principle, that once you split, if you don't have kerem on either side, so then batel hakerem, it wouldn't have the status and the need for all of this. Okay. We're talking here about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and his shita, and there is an interesting gemara in Maseches Gittin on Daf Samach Zayin. Samach Zayin Amud Aleph in the Bavli, at the end of the sixth parak, the last Amud Aleph of the sixth parak of Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara there quotes a brisa that mentions praises of 10 different Tanaim. These Tanaim, this was their Nakuta. This was their, captures their essence. And our Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is on that list. And the brisa there says, each one of these could be analyzed. Ditanya. Isi ben Yehuda used to count and mention the praise of each of these rabbis. The Mefarshim say, how could you praise one person? Doesn't they not supposed to do that? I'll lead to the guy of another person. Okay. Rabbi Meir, Chacham v'Sofer. Right? He was a Chacham, not only Tabar Chacham, he was a Sofer. Right? There were many Tamil Chacham out there, but how many of them are Sofrim? Right? So, Chacham is Sofer. Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham l'kishe yirtze. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda by Eloi was a Chacham when he wanted. Rashi, kishe yirtze. Kishaya rotze liot matun u'misyashev bidvarav haya Chacham. When he wanted to focus, he was a Chacham. Okay, what does that mean? So if you look in the Marsha here, the Maritz Chayis. The Maritz Chayis here has a very important and fascinating comment. Nirabeina kvar his oru kulam. Ma shevach hu Rabbi Yehuda. What's the shevach here? That he could chacham l'kishe yirtze? V'lanias da'iti davar nachon ubarur. Dine yadanu b'nisayon. Da'af to ha'adam ayoser shalim b'tachlis ha'shlemus. Even somebody who could reach the highest levels of perfection intellectual perfection. Eino alul b'chal eis l'chachma v'hisboninus. V'lo kal hazmanim shavim. People are human beings. And sometimes we're not able to focus based on things that are happening in our lives or in the lives of our nation. U'bizman sha'adam b'tza'ar o b'ka'as o shehu b'ma'amad ha'oni o shetakfa alav ha'ka'as v'akina. There's this pain and there's anger and there's jealousy. Then I'm not totally in the Torah zone. It's hard for me to focus sometimes. We're human. V'kfar omer b'reishis rabba, parashas vayera, basav adam chima kovashto, basav adam hakina kovashto, v'chulu, v'lishchos be'amke mitzubos ha-Torah, and to swim in the depths of the Torah, in the yam of the Torah v'avoda, tzrichin lahafshit kol ha'inyonim achushim. This is the Baruch Chayas talking. One has to peel off all physical, this worldly layers. V'shara mechitzos ha'mavdilos. Right, like the Gemara says in Brachas. Ritzenein alatzas besoncha. Who's ma'akev? The Sar Shebi Yisra and the Shibin Malchus. V'shibchu b'kana Shebi Yehuda. And that's the praise of Rabbi Yehuda. Shebi Yehuda hayachacham l'kashiyir tzahaynu. V'chol eisha hayarot tzelahamik v'chachma. Hayabin hanakel be'enav. Lashkia. It was easy for him to focus. Kivan biyivain mitzula. Call in yoni chushim ula hafshit atzmo min ha'olam atachton. To remove himself, to take off the layers. Ulishtado b'deya ubetuna. V'davar zehu maila gadol ma'od. V'lo nimsa ish echad bein shishim ribo. You won't find one in 600,000 Jews. Asher yuchal lehispa'er ba'atzmo. Ki umukshar b'chol eis u'b'chol rega lichnos b'pnimiyas ha'Torah. That's the Chacham L'Kishiyirtzeh of Rabbi Yehuda. If you look in the Rav Al Yashiv has many different Sfarim out on Shas, but he has one, a Ha'aros, they're called. So if you look in the Ha'aros on Maseches Erechin on Daf Lamed, I wasn't chazering Maseches Erechin with Rav Al Yashiv, but I have it in my notes next to this Maritz Chayis, because I must have, when I saw this Rav Al Yashiv, when we learned Erechin, so I put it back. So there, the Lashon is, it's also quoted in other places, Hareini k'ben Azai b'shuki Tveria. Right, one of the Tanaim said, I'm like Ben Azai in the Shuk of Tveria. Oh, what does that mean? So Rav Yashav quotes this Maritz Chayis, and he says, I think that's this pshat of Abaya, right? Abaya says, I'm like Ben Azai in Shuki Tveria. Ben Azai hayakadol kocho sha'afilu biyoso b'shuki Tveria hayamesuga la'ayin keroi. Even when he was in the Shuk, he was able to focus properly. Avala Abaya omer alatzmo shirake, at this moment, I'm like Ben Azai in Shuki Tveria. He can focus whenever he wants. At this moment, Abaya says, mesuga la'ayin l'hamik, that's why it's basically it's a lashon of humility that Abaye says. That's Erech and Daf Lamed, but based on this Maritz Chayis, Gittin Samach Zayin. But that's not why we brought this Brisa, because we have to continue. So Rabbi Yehuda's Lachachal B'Kishiyirtza. Rabbi Tarfon Gal Shelegozim. Rabbi Tarfon was like a pile of nuts. Well, what is the message? A pile of nuts. What does that mean? So he quotes from the Rashi quotes from the Avos Rabbi Nasan. If you have a pile of nuts and you take one out, sometimes you're in the grocery and there are piles of tomatoes. You take a tomato out and all of a sudden all the tomatoes start moving. And you want to just make sure they don't fall to the ground, because if you drop them, is that called you buy them? And it wasn't your fault, I just took one, so if you have a pile of nuts. So just like you take one nut out, the whole pile moves. Kach Rabbi Tarfon, but Talmud v'shalo davar hayimevi lo raya mikra midrash mishnah halacha v'agada hakol yachad. He could bring you a raya from every area, a nut from over here, a nut from over there, a nut from over there, and it's all connected. Rabbi Shmuel Chanus Muzuyuzenis. Rabbi Shmuel is a well stocked store. Rabbi Akiva Otzer Blum, also a treasure, right? Compartments. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nure Kupas Harochlim, right? He is like a spice seller. Get what all these mean. Rablazer ben Azariah Kupa Shal Basamim, Mishnas Rablazer ben Yaakov, Kavinaki. Rablazer ben Yaakov, Artana, Kavinaki. What does Kavinaki mean? Rashi, Loli made Harbe Kishar Chaverav. He didn't teach so many lessons. Elamasha Omer Bebes Hamedrish, Nakihu. Shalacha Kamoso Lo Olam. He didn't open his mouth so much, but when he did, everyone listened, then we paskin like him. That's Rashi. The Rush writes, Kav, the Russian Erevin, Kav Vinaki. There are 102 places where he said the halacha. Kav Vinaki, and that's the Reblaz, that's our Reblaz of Ben Yaakov. Okay, there's more about that Gemara, but we'll continue. So, back to our Gemara, we have a machlokas with Reblaz of Ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan about whether it has to go all the way through, and we said that the argument is where you only have a big kerem, you have two rows at least on each side, but if you have one row on each side, that everybody would agree that as long as you have the charetz that goes through at least three and three, right, that's between three and three, so that would be good enough. Okay, we continue. Tani says the condition of the Tosefta. The Tosefta has the following three words. Pachos mikan aser. If it's less than this, is aser. If the charetz is smaller, then it's aser. What does that mean? Less than what? In what direction? What are we talking about? So the havamina is in terms of depth. Right, what do we say? If the charetz is 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim deep. That's the description of the charetz in the Mishnah. So, the havamina here is, what does this Tosefta mean? We're talking about the same case. If it's less than 10 tefachim deep, then it's aser. Then you can't plant there. So says the Gemara. What's the chiddush of that line? We're within the sheet of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan asered anyway, even if it was 10 tefachim deep. Dalkan! Without this phrase of the Braisa, what are you teaching me? Ma'an and Amrin, what would we have said without this phrase of the Braisa? Asara asur, tishal akal shekain. What, if 10 are asur, they say a depth of 10 is asur, you can't plant there. What, less than that is also asur? Of course less than that is asur. Less than that is less of a reason to matir. So Gemara says, Ella, you're right, we misunderstood. Ella ma'u pachos mikan l'rochav. What we're talking about is less than the width, not less than the depth. Right, the Mishnah talks about a case of a charetz 10 deep and 4 wide. What if it's less than 4 wide? Less than 4 wide, why? So isn't that another kol shekain? If 4 wide is not big enough to plant in there, 3 wide for sure should be usser. So the Gemara said, no. There's a reason to say if it's less wide, it's more of a reason to allow it in the Havamina. Why? Dalkan. Without this, what would I have said? Ma'an an amrim. What would I have said? Yeyase kisasum. Because it's such a thin charetz, it's less than 4 tvachim, right? The average person probably could just walk over it or jump over it. So maybe you might have thought it's not nechshav a charetz. It's like an insignificant crack in the ground, and it's as if you're planting in the ground, right? Yehase kisasum. Let it be considered as if it's underground. V'tehe mutter, and let it be mutter. Right? We discussed, I think, once already in the Masechta, it came up that if somebody plants in the ground, let's say I have a vineyard and I plant something all the way deep in the recesses of the ground, more than 3 tefachim deep in the ground. I planted 6 tefachim underneath, so that's not kilayaz kerem. There's no problem there. If it's in the ground, more than 3 tefachim deep. So maybe the Havamina here is that I would have said here too, if the crack, if the ditch is so thin, right, it's less than 4 tefachim, then I would have said, this is looked at as ki'ilu it's sasum. Ki'ilu it's closed up. It's such an insignificant crack. You just walk over it. So therefore, it's as if you're planting underneath the ground. So it should be mutter. That's the chiddush of the Braisa. Pachos mikan asur? No. That's asur. That's usher. Don't think that's mutter. So now the Gemara says, well, why not? That sounds like such a great svara. That sounds like a great havamina, so why don't we say it's mutter? V'yayasek is sasum. V'tei mutter. Right? Why don't we say it's like sasum and it should be mutter? Why? It sounds good. It sounds good. Says the, look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Yayasek is sasum v'yay mutter. Kasal kedaitach. Dekiva da charetz pachos me'arba. Since the charetz is less than 4 tefachim wide, mifsa pasila, you could walk right over it. Ukisasim dami, and it's as if it's closed in, and therefore you're planting underground. Nidon kizorea lamata mitachas laretz. Let it be judged and looked at as if you're planting under the ground. The mutter, that would be mutter. Why isn't it like that? Continues the Gemara now. Lo kein tani, didn't we learn in the Brayis, and we had this earlier, way back in the first parak, I think. Way back, sharshe pia hanichas l'toch arba amos. If you have the root of pia, pia is a type of herb whose roots grow horizontally. They grow across. The roots grow horizontally. Sharshe pia hanichas l'toch arba amos. The roots of the pia, remind me about the redwoods. Nichnas in l'toch arba amos. They grow. If these sharshe peya go within 4 amos of a kerem, sheba kerem. So lamata mishlosha tvacham hare elu mutarin. Even though they go horizontally, it's going to go across and grab and be within the area. But if it's under 3 tvachim in the ground, it's mutar. So why don't we say the same thing here? If it's less than 4 tvachim wide, so say it's like a crack in the ground, it's significant. It's as if you're planting inside the ground, and it's mutter under 3 tvachim. Right? We just said it. It's 10 tvachim deep. So Mara says, no. It's not underground. You can always say, oh, I view it as if. Halacha doesn't always allow imaginary realities. We spoke a couple of days ago about imaginary realities. It's an imaginary door. It's an imaginary vine. It's it's ke'ilu, it's burned already. You can't always do that. Shani here is different. Sha'avir hacherem makif. It's open on top. So it's less than four tefachim, but it's still open on top. So the airspace of the kerem is still surrounding. Look at the Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe, avir hakerem makiv, towards the bottom. Shaharitz pasuachu milamala. It's open on top. The avir hakerem shemikan umikan osro. And therefore the avir is going to osir it. So therefore you can't look at it as if it is as if it's underground. I think I once read, I think I might have used it in a drasha at some point, those big, huge, tall redwood trees, you know, that stand so tall, you know, one would think that the roots go all the way down, deep down, that's why they stay for so long. It's not true. They don't go so far down. There are a lot of horizontal roots. So how does it stay so long? They're not so deep, it's horizontal roots, because they interlock with each other. The roots of the big redwoods interlock with each other, and that's how they stay and strong for so long. It's obviously the Musar Haskel, right? The way to stay strong and eternal is to interlock with each other, right? The roots have to be, and then you can't move them. You can't move them. What do you mean? Who would have imagined that they're not just deep down in the bedrock of the earth? No, it's about the interlocking with each other, and in that way create strength and yitzivut. And the anchor for them to continue. Okay, we continue. Hagacha bekerem, the chulu. So the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah was you have this charetz that goes all the way through, or not all the way through, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, as long as it goes all the way through, you're good. And the Rabbanan, who we had in the Tosefta, said it has to go even more than all the way through. It has to go through the avodas hakerem too, or through the four amos about. And that was number one. But the language of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was, but if it doesn't go all the way through, then it's just like a gat. It's just like a wine press, like a ditch that you use to crush the wine. So then the next part of the Mishnah went into a wine press. The wine press, even if it's 4 by 10 across, so again, Rabbi Yaakov said, according to our Girsa, Rabbi Eliezer says it's aser, and the Chachamim there say, I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter, and the Chachamim say it's aser. So asks the Gemara, Hagacha Bekerem, Rabbi Eliezer says mutter, says to the Rabbanan, Amar Len Rabbi Eliezer. We take out Ben Yaakov, because we don't have that Girsa. Einata modim li sheha amok kigavoa. Right? Don't you say to me that depth, something under the ground, should be the same thing as on top of the ground? Basically, what's the difference between the gat and the shomera? In the Mishnah, the shomera, the mound that's 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, everybody agrees you can plant on there. While here, the gat, which has the same exact dimensions, let's say paralleling in Hilchas Shabbos, then they're parallel. Hilchas Shabbos, you have a 10 tefach deep and 4 tefach wide ditch. That's a Rosh HaSayachid. So too, if you have a mound that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide on top, for Hilchas Shabbos, that's Rosh HaSayachid. So here, asks Rabbi Eliezer, why should the gat be more chamor than the shomera? The gat, the ditch, you're saying is aser, right? Even if it's 4 by 10, 4 wide and 10 deep. So why is the Shomera considered anything better? So the Gemara says, right, look at the Rasiolio for a second. It says, Sha'amoki Gavoa. That's not a Bereish Perek. We learned in the beginning of the Perek of the Karach HaZakarim. Decharitz Mahani Lohakel Kamogeder. We learned earlier that in terms of separations, so ditches and fences both function. And we said, right, when you have a separation, a ditch or a fence that separates, so you could plant right on the side of it. V'imkein tevi gat kishomera. So too, the gat, the ditch should be like a shomera, demastisan. V'kuli amamoda, v'nizra begat ha'amuka. And everybody would agree that it is mutter kamo b'shomera ha'gavoa. So why is there any difference? Why don't you say it's the same? So it says the Gemara, no, the Rabbana would say a ditch is worse than a mound. Amru lo in Ella, I hear you, Ella Shavir Karamakif. Right, the airspace. In a ditch, the top of the ditch is the airspace of the Karam. The fourth side, so to speak, is the airspace of the Karam. That makes it worse. The Shomer is all the way up top. It's 10 tefachim high. It's in its own Rishus, away from the Karam. Looked at independently. And therefore, don't compare these two cases. Okay. So, we just spoke about two cases in the Mishnah. The first case of the Chiritz going all the way through, and the second case of the Gat. The first case was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The second case was Rabbi Eliezer. Would they agree to each other? Do each of them have a Chumra or a Kula? Would they agree? Says the Gemara, it goes in one direction and not the other. Mistavra, Rabbi Eliezer, Modal Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Gat that's not Mefoolish, right? The Gat that's inside, that's the 4 Tvachim wide and 10 Tvachim deep, Rabbi Elazar, who says that the God is mutter, would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right? Who says, what was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's case? It goes all the way through. So, of course, that's more mekel. That's only surrounded by a kerem on two sides. So, Rabbi Elazar, in the God case, would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mefoolish case. In the Chiritz case, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lo yodi le Rabbi Elazar, but not the other direction. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Elazar, yodi le Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, sha'amok kigavoa. Rabbi Elazar would be modi, because Rabbi Elazar himself says, you treat ditches and mounds the same, and you see, he doesn't require that the kramim don't surround. He doesn't surround, right? Even if it's in the ditch, it's surrounded partly by the kerem. So, of course, in the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where the chiritz goes all the way through, it's mefulash, and it's only surrounded by the kerem on two sides, then for sure, he would agree. So Rabbi Elazar in the second part of the Mishnah would agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the first part of the Mishnah. But the opposite, no. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who again, we know is Kavinoki, as we learned, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lo yodi le Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would not agree to Rabbi Elazar's case. Sha'avir hakerem akif, right? The same lashon that the Chacham said back to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar would say back. And therefore, only if it is mefulash, and it is only muka from two sides, would Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that it is okay. Good. Next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about the Shomera. The Shomera, the mounds. The mounds, a big pile of dirt inside a kerem that the guard stands on to look around. So you let a plant on top of there. Shomera Shabbat Kerem. Rabbi Chiya B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Tzorach Shei Sham Chalal Arba. Chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan says, right, we think of a mound usually as a solid pile of dirt. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no. It's only mutter if there's at least 4 tfachim of hollow airspace in the mound. Or else it's just a continuation of the dirt. There's dirt on the ground, so it goes up. All ground is not perfectly even. So if you have this mound, even if it's 10 tfachim high, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't plant something on top of there. Even if it's 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide on top, you need airspace. 4 tfachim of airspace inside the mound in order to be able to plant on top of it. Amar of Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Hada the Tamer Ba'agula. You only need that airspace if the mound is circular. Aval Bimrubas Enotzorach Sheisham Chala Arba. But if it's a square mound, then you do not need an airspace of 4. Why not? What's the difference between a round mound and a square mound? So let's look at the Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a minute. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Hada the Tamer Ba'agula. When do you say that you need the 4 Tvachim airspace by a round mound? Hatel Agul. She'eno Nikar Kolkach. It's not so Nikar. Round, maybe it could look, you look at it and it's, maybe you could look at it as a continuation, as a hemshach of the ground. It's just like a hill in the ground. Ukshachal Chashiv, Dalin Chashiv Ba'umafsik. We have airspace, that creates the hefsik. Aval Bimru Ba'as. Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but if it's square, sheyesh lo tzuras bayis, that's the tzur of a house, of a structure, v'nikeres bekerem, ein tzarech halal dalid. If you have a square mound, then it's nikar, that is not part of the ground, and therefore, that's the difference. The difference between agula and merubaas, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he adds in one line, which many of us are aware of, but he adds in one line. Here we go. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Yoradea, Ar Simon, Reis Adivav. Remember, there's 2 Reis Adivavs in Shulchan Aruch. So, Reis Adivav about Kilei HaKerem. So, Reis Adivav, what does he say? Why is the round one more easily confused with the ground, therefore you need airspace, but the square not? It was worth it to come in just for this today. Dachi Birusho, De Meruba Mechzi Kibinyin Vahavi Rushus Befaneatzmo, Aval Agul Mechzi Keis Ba'alma. Meruba, you know, is a separation. It's separate, but not an Agul. Why? Even if it's very, it looks separate. V'ha'ikar, d'le'igol tzarech hekara, v'lo b'meruba mishum, ein meruba misheshes yimei breishes. Wow. There's nothing square in nature. There's nothing square in nature, says the Aruch HaShulchan. V'nika lakoshu, ma'isi de'adam. It's obviously humanly constructed. You have a square mound with four corners. It's obviously humanly constructed, and therefore it's nikar, that it's something separate. Ma'she'egim b'davar agol, kimavur b'yushalmi. Unlike that. If you look, just looking around a little bit, online I found this. Come to think of it, when have you ever a square leaf, a square fruit, a square tree, a square raindrop? Coming to think of it, nature, unlike man, does not produce square moons, square suns, square planets, or square galaxies. There are no square rainbows or square flowers, square heads that could fit inside a square box. Yet more often than not, that's exactly what we do. We try to put everything inside a box. We try to make all things black and white. We try to make everything spick and span as though we could put a square peg inside a round hole, and then congratulate ourselves for the feat we have done. Since the dawn of man-made technology, we have certainly lived in a world of squares. Square houses, square buildings, square computer screens. We write on square paper using square tables. We sleep on square beds and enter upon square doors. Where has all this taken us? These square things have made a war with our own hearts, and again, all mysteries that enrich and empower us. The next time someone tries to put your immortal soul inside a square box, kindly remind yourself, there are no square stars in the universe. Okay, this is not from a Jewish quote. But there's something there. There's something there, and now it's in the Aruch HaShulchan, and now it's in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, just Agula versus Merubah. Why? The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's easy, it's obviously. You know this is something separate, because it is square. Okay. A little bit more. Rabbi Chalafta ben Shaul Omer, another requirement, not just the airspace, Chalafta ben Shaul says, you have to have, besides the four tvachim of airspace, you need three tvachim of dirt on top of that airspace. On top of that airspace, you need three tvachim of dirt. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Hadatzim Abagula. Again, that's only by the Agula. Aval b'rumuas, but by merubas, that already is known. It's separate. You know, tzorach sheisham shlosha tvachim afar milamala. You don't need four tvachim milamala. There, you don't need three tvachim milamala. So again, by square, you don't need the four tvachim airspace. You don't need the three tvachim dirt. And by agula, you need both. Okay, we'll have to stop there by the two dots. But we'll continue next time on the 50th daf here in Maseches Kilayim.